Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Rupa, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the creation as it was before. Purport, by his divine grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Vishnu Prabhupada Jai. The example cited herein of Sri Brahmaji is one of forgetfulness. Brahmaji is the incarnation of one of the mundane attributes of the Lord. Being the incarnation of the passion mode of material nature, he is empowered by the Lord to generate the beautiful material manifestation. Yet, due to his being one of the numerous living entities, he is apt to forget the art of his creative energy. This forgetfulness of the living being, beginning from Brahma down to the lowest insignificant ant, is a tendency which can be counteracted by meditation on the Virat Rupa of the Lord. This chance is available in the human form of life, and if a human being follows the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam and begins to meditate on the Virat Rupa, then revival of his pure consciousness and counteraction of the tendency to forget his eternal relationship with the Lord can follow simultaneously. As soon as this forgetfulness is removed by the Vavayavasya Buddhi, as mentioned here, and in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41, follows at once. This ascertained knowledge of the living being leads to loving service of the Lord, which the living being requires. The kingdom of God is unlimited, therefore the number of the assisting hands of the Lord are also unlimited. The Bhagavad Gita 13.14 asserts that the Lord has his hands, legs, eyes, mouths in every nook and corner of his creation. This means that the expansions are differentiated parts and parcels called jivas or living entities. Our assisting hands of the Lord, and all of them are meant for rendering a particular pattern of service to the Lord. Conditioned soul, even in the position of Brahma, forgets this by the influence of illusionary material energy generated out of false egoism. One can counteract the false egoism by invoking God consciousness. Liberation means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness and becoming situated in the real loving service of the Lord, exemplified in the case of Lord Brahma. The service of the Lord, the service of Brahma is the sample of service in liberation, distinguished from the so-called altruistic services, full of mistakes and forgetfulness. Liberation is never inaction, but service without human mistakes. Om Gyananam Dasya Ganasya Tasumini Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha Bhakti Churu Samana Sri Tejandas Prabhu. So, when I am notified for giving class, I look for the purport and see what strikes me the first straight away. So, where is it now? Rupala. Yes. The sentence struck me immediately. The living entities to loving service of the Lord, in which the living entity requires. And then after that, the rest of the purport followed. So I'm going to concentrate on that sentence. The living entity leads the loving service of the Lord. And because loving service, Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they quote the same, Srila Prabhupada being the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he gave the example of loving service. So he gave the example of, we know there's two types of sadhana bhakti. We know there's the Vaidhi and Raghunuga bhakti. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur, he describes Vaidhi bhakti or compares it to a jar of honey. And to taste that honey, you have to open the jar or take the top off to taste the honey inside. You cannot taste it by licking the outside of the jar. And then we can able to taste the loving service. Then we can taste the nectar that's inside, the sweet taste that's inside. And, where is it now? Oh, yes, it is. So in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 31, Srila Prabhupada, it's a long purport, I won't have time to read it, but so there are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vasalya, Madhurya. And Devaki is on the platform of Vasalya, and she wants to deal with her eternal son, Krishna, in that stage of love. So this is, I'm not going to go into the rasas, that because we know what they are. But this is the five stages of loving service. And loving service, Krishna actually reciprocates or becomes obliged to the devotee who's on that platform of loving service. In the chapter 22 of the Nectar Devotion, the qualities of Lord Krishna, there are 64 qualities of Lord Krishna. So number 40 is controlled by love. Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee the spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. No one can serve Krishna completely. So he is completely and self-sufficient that he has no need for any service from a devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. A nice example of this obligatory behavior was manifest when Sudama Vipra went to Krishna's palace. Sudama Vipra had been a class friend of Krishna's, and due to his poverty, he was induced by his wife to see Krishna to request some aid. When Sudama Vipra reached Krishna's palace, Krishna received him very well, and both he and his wife washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, showing respect to the Brahmana, remembering his loving affairs with Sudama in their childhood. Krishna began to shed tears after receiving him. Another instance of Krishna's obligation to his devotee is described in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, when Mother Yashoda was perspiring, tired of trying to bind Krishna up with the rope, Krishna agreed to allow her to bind him. Krishna's the child was disturbing his mother by his naughty activities, and he wanted to bind him up. Mother Yashoda bought some rope from the house and tried to tie up the child, but could not tie a knot due to the shortness of the rope. She tied together many ropes, but when she finished, still the rope was too short. After a while, she felt very tired and began to perspire. At that time, Krishna agreed to be bound up by his mother. In other words, no one can bind Krishna by any means than love. He is bound up only by the obligation to his devotees because of their ecstatic love for him." So we see in this qualification, Prabhupada writes, we see two of the five ways of loving service. One is, you know, being a friend of Krishna, and one is being the mother. So, let alone the topmost loving service, or the topmost rasa, so rasa, madhurya rasa. So imagine how Krishna is indebted to Srimati Radharani. It has been said that Nayendra Prabhu was saying in one class that due to that, when Krishna saw Radharani, due to that love, her love for him, he dropped his peacock feather fell off, and he dropped his flute. So of course we, being living entities, conditioned living entities, we have to develop this loving relationship, loving service to Krishna. And we have to, So how do we develop this loving service? So again, in chapter 22, the 32nd quality of Krishna. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Krishna's compassion for the distressed person was exhibited when he released all the kings imprisoned by Magdharendra. While dying, grandfather Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magdharendra were put into dark cells, and when Krishna appeared here, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as the sun had arisen. In other words, although Magdharendra was able to imprison many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released, and Krishna released the kings out of his sincere compassion for them. Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when grandfather Bhishma was lying in the bed of arrows which had been shot through his body. While lying in that position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiful condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only while he was shedding tears, he also forgot himself in his compassion. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is very difficult to approach. But devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. I'm going to read the last sentence again. But the devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So this is why when we greet the deities, we say the name of Radharani, Radha Gokulanda, Radha Lananishwara, Radha Madhava, because we cannot approach Krishna directly. But at the same time, we cannot approach Radharani without going through Rupa Goswami, because we are Rupa Nugas, and through the previous Acharyas we cannot approach, because we're Rupa Nugas, we're followers of Rupa Goswami, who is of course Rupa Manjari. And therefore, in the purport of that, in the Bhagavad, in that purport, I've read this purport here. For is it 314, I think, isn't it? Something. Yeah. That in the last section of that, Srila Prabhupada said, right, we cannot approach unless we go through a bona fide spiritual master, because they are the representatives of Sri Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari. And this is our line. We have to follow what our line is. And in the third text of the Nectar of Instruction, the last item of things favorable for devotional service is to follow in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas. So this is why, in one sense, I read that quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, that Krishna is giving an unbiased truth. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, it's completely unbiased. And if we try to dilute what the acharyas say, even though sometimes it may be very hard to follow what they say, even to accept what they say. And sometimes it's even difficult to surrender to what the acharyas say. So then this is due to fear. So I was listening to a class from Gadagiri the other day, and my Chaitanya Chandrababu was asked the question, why do devotees don't want to surrender? The Guru in the Bhagavad Gita says we must surrender to Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, but devotees sometimes they don't want to surrender. And said they have this fear. And said, and the question was, what is this fear they have? He said, the fear is they have to give up their own agenda. This is their fear. If we have got our own agenda, and Krishna, Guru, and Gauranga say, Prabhu, Prabhu's Das, please, you have to give this up. Because if you don't want to give this up, we get fearful. Because we come out of our comfort zones. And we have to depend on Krishna and Guru. And we have to give up our own agenda, and we have to come back to our real identity, is that we are, again, coming from the line of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, and again, Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur, again he quotes, the only desired object in our life is to collect the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami, who fulfilled the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And another quote is, a bona fide spiritual master is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one cannot say that the spiritual master is the personal manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will not be able to utter the holy name of the Lord. So this is the position of the spiritual master, that he is a manifestation of the Lord. But the spiritual because his manifestation is the, he's eternally part and parcel of Krishna. And the spiritual master, he will descend here on the orders of the of Krishna, just like I heard a tape, a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada and some devotees. And Srila Prabhupada was saying, I didn't want to come here. He said, I was happy, I was doing service in the spiritual world, but Krishna asked me to come here. But I didn't want to go. I didn't want to come. So Krishna asked me to come, so I came here. So, of course, the manifestation, he's a manifestation because he's a manifestation of Balaram. The guru has two aspects. He's the manifestation of Lord Nityananda, and also he's the eternally serving Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, as we sing every morning, don't we? So we sing Yukunda Yuno, Sita Lilai. So he's eternally service, but he's also an expansion of Lord Nityananda. So about the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, we cannot do anything. Go back here. Now I'm going to finish with a quote, actually, from Srila Prabhupada. This is from an excerpt from 1969, London, Radhastami lecture. So that must have been Berry Place. Srila Prabhupada, we pray to Radharani because she is the pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna means all attractive, but Radharani is so great that she attracts Krishna. Krishna is all attractive and she is the attractor of Krishna. So what is the position of Srimati Radharani? We should try to understand this on this day. We offer our obeisances to Radharani. Tapakanjan Gaurangi Radhe Vanishvari Vishrabhanu Sudevi Pranamani Hari Priye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vishvabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Our business is Radharani, and you are so dear to Krishna, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Radharani is Hari Priya. Very dear to Krishna. So if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. Radharani recommends this devotee. It's very nice. If Radharani recommends this devotee is very nice, then Krishna will immediately accept, however a fool I may be. Because you are recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore, Vrindavan, you'll find that all the devotees are chanting Radharani's name more than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you'll find the devotees are addressing each other, Jai Radhe. Then you will still find in Vrindavan there are glorifying Radharani. They are more interested in worshipping Radharani. because however fallen I may be, if some or other I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. So, of course, we have to please Radharani. So how do we please Radharani? We call the name of Krishna, Hari. And it's said that Krishna comes running to a devotee who says the name of Radha. But also, Krishna comes running who chants the name Radharani, and Krishna runs to that devotee who chants the name of Radha, comes pleased when you chant the name of Krishna. Because Radharani is what we call technical term is Ashraya Vigraha. She's the Ashraya means shelter or abode. So she's the deity, because within Radharani is the love of Godhead that Krishna is desiring that love. And because Krishna is the Vishaya, is the object of that love, and Radharani is the Ashraya Vigraha, she's the abode of that love. So therefore, he cannot understand this. So therefore, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand, or try to understand this. And of course, Mahaprabhu then, in his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, in his last pastimes in Gambhir, he understood. And so therefore, but we as devotees, we just simply have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, without offences. Because we know there's many aparads. And as it was pointed out years ago, one devotee, the word aparad is two words, is apa, A-P-I, and rada. So apa means against. So aparad means something we do that's against Radharani. So this is why we have to avoid committing the Navaishnava aparad, not just the Vaishnava aparad. We have to avoid guru aparad, seva aparad, dharma aparad. We have to avoid these aparads. It's not just for, and so by the mercy of the pure devotee, and if we follow in the line of Rupa Goswami, we can hope by their mercy, and if we follow their instructions, as it says in text 3, the sixth instruction, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, we get their mercy, and we can be qualified to enter the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Okay. Any questions, corrections? I will try to answer. Now, you just speak up. I can hear, probably hear you.
He spoke early on in the lesson about the Sri Damodar Leela, the Sri Damodar Leela.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting, very, very special Leela. And then a little bit later, you started to talk about devotional service. And bhakti. So I'm hoping you can elucidate a little
on bhakti
about the meaning of the word bhakti.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes the jnana yogis, they may be sometimes accused of us of being sentimentalists. And I know that Prabhupada clearly defines the word bhakti as devotional service. So could you elucidate a little around whether bhakti is to sentiment or if it's service, please?
No. First of all, and understand, in that purport I read from 10th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 31, if you read further down, it says, bhakti, Bhagavan, and bhakta do not belong to this material world. Prabhupada said, do not belong to this material world. So bhakti, so then the question is, what are we doing here? We're sitting, you know, we're doing service in the temple, whatever it may be doing. We're chanting our rounds, doing seva. We're following all as a guru. So what are we doing here? Are we wasting our time? Of course we're not. The answer is that the bhakti, Bhagavan, and bhakta, they descend here from the spiritual world to this material world to give us bhakti, the spiritual master. The bhakta means devotional. Bhakta means pure devotee or guru. So the bhakta, he descends here to give us bhakti. So the sentimentalists, they generally don't have a guru. They don't have a guru who can give bhakti. It's like if I go to, I go to a shop to buy a computer. So I go to a shop that sells computers. Do I go to a shop that sells clothes? Or do I go to a shop that sells fruit and cakes and things? No. I go to the shop that sells computers. So we have to go to a person who's got bhakti. Sentimentalists don't understand this. Is that okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Just reading in the Living Name book also, just to reflect before I ask a question, if I can. It says in CC, it says bhakti means crying while remembering Krishna's name.
Yes.
I just read it this morning. That was nice.
That's nice, yeah.
My question, however, is what exactly is the definition of Krishna Katha? And is talking about the science of the soul, material world, is it all these subtopics? You could say, in devotional service, is that you could still say that's Krishna Katha?
In the beginning, we can't expect the conditioned soul to understand higher topics. We cannot expect it. So therefore, we have to preach to people the conditioned soul that on a level that they can receive or understand something. So there's nothing wrong, you know, speaking about the soul, because I got the book in Reading, and about the spirit soul, and then from there, that was. But we have to start from the beginning, which is we have to speak about the soul. We have to speak. We're not this body. It's like you made the nice point yesterday, Rasaraj Prabhu, about bridge preaching, and you gave the correct answer. You gave the nice explanation that person can be stuck on that bridge. And it came to me afterwards also, there's a danger that the preacher can be stuck on that bridge as well. I said, no, I didn't, I'm not saying, I said a danger. I said he will be or could be, but there's a danger that preacher will be stuck. So there's nothing wrong with preaching about the spirit soul, because we all have to start from somewhere. We have to learn the ABCs first before we can do the algebra and the higher mathematics. Nothing wrong. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Now I'm in trouble now.
Well, you said I'm your senior and all that, but actually you're more advanced than me. You give such an amazing class.
No.
Full of amazing conclusions of pure devotional service. But I thought that was a brilliant answer you gave about how do we know that bhakti is not sentimental. And you said, though, you know, you've got to have a spiritual master to really get bhakti. So, you know, surrendering to the spiritual master is no joke. Sentimentalists can't get up at 4 in the morning, control their minds, perform austerity, tapasya, to hear from the devotees. They don't perform these tapasyas, because if they did, they'd cease to become sentimentalists. So I thought that's encapsulated this question. You know, that a real bhakta has a spiritual master, and to have a spiritual master, you can't remain on the platform of sentiment. That was brilliant. But he's gone now, Rasaraj. I was going to say something about...
Yeah. You can pass it on anyway.
Basically, about his question. So, Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto, he quoted that verse as the Maha Shloka of Bhagavad Gita, to always think of Krishna with love. This is the goal of life, and it's a constant... Krishna talks about it. I mean, there's 55 shlokas in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is saying, think of me always, basically, in a nutshell. So, if one cannot do that, he can study the philosophy, the tattva of bhakti, and always think of the philosophy. And that will purify him to the point where he'll then be able to think of Krishna directly.
Yeah.
Hare.
Thank you. Just like, isn't it? We, in the Lord Brahma, he, you know, as it says in the translation, just by remembering and thinking of the Bharat Rupa, one can actually regain our Krishna. We can regain it. Anyway, I'm just the messenger of the of my guru. That's it. Shimba. All glories to the devotees, yeah.
Yeah.
Krishna. Kanta Rajin Bhagavatam Ki Jai.